Anne is going to come and read to us our first part of Matthew chapter 28, and then later on we'll hear the second half of the chapter. Matthew chapter 28, reading from verses 1 through to 15.
Some short people around here, eh? Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see him." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. When they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. This is God's word.
Rob is now going to come and read to us the second portion of Matthew chapter 28.
The last four verses of the Gospel according to Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Let us pray. Almighty Father, your power, wisdom, and glory are fresh and foremost in our minds as we remember the wonderful resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. This day is prized above all, for it shows your great kindness and compassion to people of all generations in all the nations on earth. Jesus' resurrection from the dead powerfully declares that he, our Lord, is the Son of God. We thank you that you gave us great joy in reconciling us to yourself. For you are our God, in whom we trust, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Matthew's Gospel does not make much of Jesus' appearances post his resurrection. he records just two appearances and sets the pathway for his followers, the followers of Jesus, till the end of the age when Jesus comes again. Today we're going to have a look at those two appearances of Jesus and the single most important mission Jesus has given to his church. This mission from Jesus is to set the purpose and direction for the church for all time until he comes. Firstly, we begin with the breaking of dawn. Were you up at the break of dawn this morning? On this day, at the beginning of the breaking of dawn, on the third day of Jesus' death, he was cruelly crucified on the Friday, laid in a tomb hewn out of rock. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. The next day after the Friday was the Sabbath, but early the next morning, the first day of the week, the Sunday morning, as the day was beginning to dawn, we are told they returned to the tomb to have a look. You see in verse 1, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Suddenly there was a severe earthquake, the second supernatural earthquake in 3 days. The first occurred while Jesus was on the cross as he gave up his spirit and died. This time, the angel came down from heaven and rolled back the stone that covered the opening to the tomb. His appearance was like lightning, his clothes as white as snow. The guards guarding the tomb were afraid and became like dead men. Were they overwhelmed with the shock of seeing this angel and everything else that was happening around this tomb which they guarded? The angel spoke to the women, saying, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." They heard what the angel said and went and had a look. Jesus' body was not there. They saw the empty tomb. Where could Jesus be? What had he said about rising on the third day? As they were going to tell the disciples, they left with fear and yet with great joy, mixed emotions. Have a look at verse 9. "Behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him." The first appearance Jesus made, according to Matthew's account, was to the women who'd served him while he ministered to the crowds, for there was no doubt this was Jesus. The women took hold of Jesus' feet and worshipped him. This was not the first time they'd cared for Jesus' feet. Mary Magdalene had wept over his feet and dried them with her hair. She anointed his feet with perfume. Now she grasps them and worships Jesus, her Lord. Not a lot of information, is there? Scant information, but vital and to the point. There is no enhancing the truth. What would be more amazing than firstly being told that Jesus was alive again, resurrected from the dead, And secondly, actually seeing him in the flesh, holding his feet and worshipping him. That is true divine joy. Jesus then told the women, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So while they were going, the soldiers skedaddled into the city to tell the chief priests all that they had seen, all that had happened. And it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to be crucified on the Friday. Now they are mortified that Jesus' body was no longer in the tomb. They came up with a plan, an evil plan, a plan of lies. Matthew tells us, when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." By the way, do you know what the punishment for sleeping on duty was? Death. That's why they were given money. And if it came to the governor's ears, then they would satisfy him and protect them from that. Now, how do you think these soldiers felt after taking this story and spreading the lie as the truth? My guess is that one of these soldiers at least became a follower of Jesus, and that is why we have the details of this offense given to us in writing today. Now, obviously, the women did go and tell the disciples what the angel had said and how they had seen Jesus, that the tomb was empty. Other gospels tell us that two of the disciples, John and Peter, ran to the tomb themselves to have a look. The women's testimony was true. Their report of what the angel had said was true. Surely those faithful women were cherished within the body of believers for all time. They had touched the risen Saviour. They had worshipped him. Now, Matthew's second recorded appearance of Jesus after his resurrection was to his disciples in Galilee. Now, just as a little side note, Luke in his book of Acts tells us that the period from his resurrection to when he ascended into heaven was 40 days. Okay, so there is 40 days that these appearances happened. The disciples had to go to Jerusalem, to the place where Jesus had designated to see him. It was incredible that Jesus had risen from the dead, and their friend would see them in Galilee. Now we too will find Jesus if we seek him with all our heart. We must seek him, not in the amazing spectacles people seek for, but to have a look at his word. Read the Gospels and see. Ask his Spirit to guide you, your thoughts, your heart, in knowing Jesus, and he will come near to you, and you will know him with all your heart. Have a look at Matthew 28, verse 16. "Now when the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." On both occasions when Jesus appeared, the ones seeing him worshipped him. Seeing the resurrected Jesus invokes the response of worship in people. They humbly bow before him and give him their worship, their praise, their glory. Now, I find it very uplifting to see people join together in worshipping our Lord and God through song and through prayer, through attentively listening to his word and considering it and applying it to their lives for his glory. He is worthy of our praise and our declaration to follow him all the days of our life. Believers mutually encourage one another as we worship our Lord together. Soon winter will be upon us. Now, many of us love to have a fire going to keep us warm, but also just to have that atmosphere of a fire, of being able to enjoy that. Worshippers are a little bit like the embers in a fire, worshipping God, feeding on the Word of God, and being encouraged by the Spirit of God warms our hearts. That is not what happens when we stand alone and pretend we don't need each other. We can still worship God, we can still learn from Him, but we also need to be joined together, encouraging one another, in building up one another in the Word. And this brings us to move on to our third point, Jesus' commission for his church. Have a look at the final verses of Matthew that Rob read to us before, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now we see the one to whom all authority in heaven and on earth has been given. Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 to 11 expands this concept a little more as it explains the humility and exaltation of Jesus by saying, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, in being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very servant of a God, nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus has been given the supreme authority. He is the head of the church, and he has that authority to give the command to his church for us to follow. And these words in Matthew are a fantastic summary of our responsibilities in every generation. Jesus gave us three things for growing the kingdom of God and living in obedience to Jesus. As we go about our daily living, as you go into the world, as we go into all the nations of the world, the Christian church is to go about its mission of making disciples, followers of Jesus. Now, how do we do that? Well, that's a very difficult question to answer because there is not one sure way of obediently doing it. I cannot just walk up to someone in the street and say, do certain things or say certain things, and that person will become a disciple of Jesus. might with that person, but not with that one. I myself, I grew up in a home that my mum loved the Lord. I had been attending church and Sunday school from a very young age. And when I was about 7 or 8, the reality of my own sinfulness caused me to cry out to God in seeking his forgiveness. I know others who have been in their teens or their young adult ages, some people who are older. The Lord uses a variety of ways to gather people to himself, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk as followers of Jesus. What we must do, though, is start with love for Jesus, to worship him in our life, with our life. From there, we prayerfully and humbly speak of our Lord and why we love him. We open up the scriptures, for they reveal the one who is our Lord and our Saviour. The scriptures give us the answers to the relevant questions of who is our Saviour. As hearers begin to believe in Jesus and humbly turn away from following their own desires to follow after Jesus as a disciple, we move into phase 2 of our commission, baptizing them into the name singular, so one God, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a sign and a seal of our faith in God. Phase 3 then continues in training the disciples of Jesus, teaching them to observe all that he commands. And so we want to grow in our knowledge of God, in our becoming more like Jesus, the Son of Man, every day. As Christians, we are always wanting to encourage one another in knowing and understanding God's word. This is my objective as I come to preach each month. God's word is written for us to read. And as we read, so our knowledge of God and of our world, and even of our understanding of ourselves and our prayers, our hopes, our love for one another are shaped by that word. God's Spirit takes that word and makes it alive in our hearts so that we want to follow and encourage others in it also. So our mission is to make disciples of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is not dead. His love for us is such that we cannot help but want to worship him with our life and all we have. It is not something we do alone, though. Jesus has promised to always be with us, individually and together. He gave his Spirit to give us power in sharing the gospel because it is true. Can you believe it? The Spirit of Jesus is always with the believer and helps us to give an answer for the hope we have within. The hope of forgiveness of sin. The hope of being made new. To become like our Lord Jesus until he comes. The hope of adoption into God's family as his own children. So be of good courage as we each go into the world, into our daily work, and make disciples of Jesus. We serve a risen Saviour, the Son of God. In him we have life in all of its fullness. He will always assist us in speaking of our lovely Saviour for all time. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we worship you with all of our heart. We want to follow you and learn from you. Lord Jesus, you invite us saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." O Lord our God, let our souls rest in you. Help us in making disciples who will faithfully follow Jesus always. Let them hear of your grace to forgive, your enduring love for all time, and your Spirit who makes us to enjoy you forever. May you be glorified in our midst, even as we worship you today and seek your face. For we pray in Jesus' name.